Federal agency inspectors general are submitting annual reports to meet the requirements of the Federal Information Security Management Act. But your agency's networks may not actually be more secure because of that compliance and because of those reports. Dave McClure is chief strategist of the Verus Group, former associate administrator in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies at the General Services Administration, and a veteran of oversight performance at the Government Accountability Office. He is watching as the FISMA reports roll in. Dave, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on. The report that Jason submitted inside the reporter's notebook this week that jumped out at me was Jason writes, the State Department spent $14 million in 2013 in part to hire contractors to better comply with FISMA, and Jason writes, not to improve its cybersecurity or better protect its data, but to comply with the law. I found that pretty striking, and I wonder if that was something that you noticed as at least unusual or noteworthy as well. Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure to be here, Francis, as always. Well, I think, you know, the correlation between the recommendations and findings of IG audits and GAO audits and the agency's ability to address those findings and showing a commensurate increase in security status is always going to be something that we've got to plow through. You know, a lot of the recommendations and a lot of the findings coming from IG audits and GAO audits are dealing with process issues, documentation issues. It's not a one-size-fit-all in every of the recommendation areas. And I think that's the core of the problem, is that we need to get from the auditor some sense of the level of severity of the audit finding itself and some sort of recommended prioritization of their recommendations, because agencies simply don't have infinite resources to address the security issues that are brought up by these audits.
Just about every time I talk to somebody from GAO, and we do it every Monday, and those interviews are archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, one of the questions that I normally ask is, when they say that information that indicates compliance was not present, I normally ask, does that mean it wasn't there, or it just means you couldn't verify it? And of course, I guess I'm putting them on the spot because I'm asking them to prove a negative, but that's normally the response that I get. We don't know that it didn't happen, we just can't verify that it did happen. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I think there's a difference between showing compliance and showing operational capability and status. So I think that lies at the heart of the FISMA debate. There's nothing necessarily evil or wrong with the NIST standards that are being used in these various security capability areas. I mean, everyone has to remember the NIST guidelines in the 800 series cover managerial, operational, and technical controls. So I think that's what needs to be sorted through, is are the documentation issues as serious as the operational issues? And probably not. And I think we have to bring some common sense to how agencies respond to their deficiencies from a risk basis as opposed to a compliance basis.
But what you're saying makes sense, but certainly there are areas where the agencies could probably improve their documentation processes so they can demonstrate to their IGs and to GAO, here's the information you're looking for, so that when they talk to me, they don't have to say we couldn't find it.
Yeah, definitely. And again, some of it's just the quality or the completeness of what is being presented to the auditor. It may be partially there. It may not be complete, so therefore it gets an X rather than a check mark.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just issues, I think, until you get behind the scenes of an audit. It's unclear how short or close they were to meeting the compliance standard or how far away they are. That could, again, be addressed in the auditing reporting process by getting into those kinds of granular issues, rather than just saying, you know, they missed the mark on 33 things. They were close on 12. They were a mile away on 10. And so forth.
You've seen these from the inside, obviously, from your time at GAO. Is there a reason why we don't see that more often? Is it impractical for some reason? Is it not possible in some cases, or some other reason?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I think, you know, things have changed in the last 10 years. A lot of the things that we used to put in security reports are now being redacted. And the reason for that is that I think everyone's concerned about just letting any kind of sensitive information out about number of systems, types of systems, controls that are weak or not in place. So the public side of these reports is something that's probably gotten more scrutiny in the last, certainly in the last few years and certainly in the last few months, because there's continued findings that bad guys are using and exploiting this kind of information. It's not to say that it can't be reported internally. It's the amount of it that is made public.
Dave McClure of the Verisk Group, my guest, looking at Jason Miller's Inside the Reporter's Notebook piece titled Wishful FISMA Thinking. I saw another item in that story, Dave, that I think is encouraging. Jason writes, the White House's recent acceptance that smaller cyber bills may be better than one big one have buoyed the hope Congress will actually pass a cyber bill in the next year. I don't think that necessarily has as much to do with the political realities the White House will deal with a Republican Congress as it does with the idea that there are coalitions of members on both sides of Capitol Hill that are willing to do this piece or that piece or the other piece. They just haven't been able to build a coalition of people who are willing to do the whole big kahuna.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's true. I do think that comprehensive security legislation is very difficult in today's environment because the security game is changing so rapidly. We already have, you know, a balancing act between static controls and static testing in the largely in the 800 series versus the CDM, continuous diagnostic and monitoring tools that are rapidly coming online. What's the balance between the two? And rather than trying to figure it out, I think what's happening is that you're seeing legislative ideas being tossed around, asking agencies or requiring agencies to embrace CDM and to show evidence that they're using it. And that becomes a bill, that becomes something that becomes legislatively mandated. So it's almost a piecemeal approach to working in improvements to the security process rather than tackling it in a comprehensive fashion. The danger from that is that you could introduce a lot of legislation that, when weaved together, could have a lot of inconsistencies.
Well, that's what I was going to suggest might be the problem. The only problem I can think of so far to the piecemeal approach is you got to make sure that at least as each piece passes, you're looking at all of what you've passed holistically to make sure that something in one doesn't cancel out something in the other.
And we both know how well that's done. So.
Well, okay, so we'll let that one hang there. Just the fact, though, that you use the term, and a lot of people use the term CDM, is indicative of one of the potential benefits to this approach, though, because when we first started talking about the idea of comprehensive cybersecurity legislation, it seems like a long time ago, but I believe it was the 111th Congress or maybe the 112th, so that would have been at least 3 or 4 years ago, the term was continuous monitoring. And now it's right. Evolved into this CDM concept, which had we had a continuous monitoring requirement, it might be different now. The law might be different now than what the agencies have discovered is really the most effective approach as it sits today.
Yeah, exactly. And I think really the mitigation, the M side of CDM, the reason why it's really been tacked on and actually hammered is that I think at the early stages of continuous monitoring, there has been a fascination with tools and analytics that show the status of things and correlations and sort of help weed through in a mechanical and automated fashion what's happening in your networks. It still is dependent upon either an automated tool or a human being to correct that deficiency or that vulnerability. And how quickly that's done is extremely important in today's environment. So I think the mitigation, the M word, is trying to sensitize all of us to the fact that it's not about detection completely. It's about taking detection, analyzing what's going on, and taking corrective action as quickly as possible.
So you lived this not only when you looked at this stuff at GAO, but when you and your colleagues at GSA built the FedRAMP program. What is there a point in time where the legislative remedy, no matter what it is, will be overcome by the just the realities of the cybersecurity landscape and the threat landscape that exists that agencies have to deal with. Because it seems to me, as the trajectory, as the landscape changes on a lot faster trajectory, legislation, nice as it may be to have, becomes less and less important to the way that I, as a CIO or a CISO or some other information security person, go about doing my job every day.
Yeah, that's I think that's true. I think legislation, because it takes so long to get it in place, and because it can become so outdated so fast, that we have to, I think, really press that in terms of what's going on Capitol Hill. I personally believe what Congress needs to focus on is clear accountability and a oversight process that shows progress, and not focus on telling agencies how to specifically go about doing it. There's lots of expertise available on the how side. But what Congress can do is raise the bar on transparency, accountability, and absolute progress in ensuring through evidence and results, the security posture of the agencies.
When you say clear accountability, what do you mean by that, Dave?
Who is the person or people that the Congress needs to have the conversation with when things are not working well? Mm-hmm. Is it the head of the agency? Is it the CIO? Is it the chief security officer? Who do we put at that witness table to explain what is actually happening, and there's clear accountability for the results that have occurred?